everybody, and welcome to Sing to the Lord, the podcast that breaks down how the Lutheran hymnody is preaching the gospel. I'm your host, Mason Van Essen. What you're hearing is the hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Alleluia. Welcome back to Sing to the Lord. We have your two favorites, Zachary Brockhoff and Lars Olsen. And I think Zachary might be trying to pull a fast one on us for this fourth Sunday of Easter. We talked about Jesus Christ is risen today, but today we're talking about Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia.
That's right. I consider you all a bunch of sheep and that you wouldn't notice.
It's perfect for this day to talk about sheep and the shepherd, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, tell us, this does sound a lot like that Jesus Christ is risen today.
Yep.
And, so why did you choose this one again?
Well, it's a completely different hymn, despite the fact I've heard a few times over the last couple of weeks from a pastor that he once chose this as the hymn for Easter morning, and, well, it was the wrong hymn, which didn't realize till I believe they started singing it. So you do want to be careful about this kind of thing. And as much as it can sound like the same thing, and it is confusing because there's really just two separate texts, and oftentimes this is sung to the other tune that we all know so well. But it has a long and somewhat winding history, sort of like Jesus Christ is risen today, but it goes back even further. You can see just from what's printed in the hymnal that it goes back to plain chant in the 11th century. It was originally written as what's called a sequence hymn, which is really a fancy term for something around the reading of the gospel. So oftentimes, liturgically, churches will have the gospel highlighted by having a sequence hymn sung on either side of the gospel and a procession during this time. That's really why this hymn exists. Now, it of course was not this hymn, but a slightly different one. In fact, it's 371 in ELW, Christians to the Paschal Victim. And then 500 years after that, Lutherans in Germany stole the chant and repurposed it as Christ is arisen. That's 372. We're still not to the hymn that's today yet. And then finally, Luther took his own shot at it in 1524, and he took Christ is arisen, the chorale, and reworked it and gives us what's next door to this hymn, 370, Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands, a terrific Easter hymn. What we have here then is a contemporary, or more contemporary, we should say, paraphrase of the original plain chant. And when you listen to the particularly 370 through 372, if you went home and just plunked out the melody on the piano or something, you could hear that those melodies are related. This melody, of course, is its own. But it's all based in the same first sequence hymn for Easter, which is really fun. Yeah.
And this is what comes out of all that history and all those revisions.
Yeah, all of the revisions. Here? And I suspect there are revisions here, right? It's not as closely related, I would say, to the original plain chant, but it's all based on sort of the same ideas. So that's what you get.
Well, this hymn is, like you're talking about, an Easter hymn. It's related to all these other Easter hymns, and it has kind of a generic Easter hymn feel, and it's related to, the same kind of a similar tune to other Easter hymns. Mm-hmm. But we're in John 10 for this fourth Sunday of Easter, and we're talking about Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep.
Yeah.
Is that why you've picked this? Because it kind of fits that theme
somewhat,
pretty well?
Yeah. You get some language in here that isn't present in, I guess I'll say, more generic Easter hymns of praise. This is specifically going to refer to Christ as the Paschal victim. In church circles, it's Paschal is a word that's going to come up, obviously, around Easter. It's related to Easter. But some of the beauty in this language, of course, is saying that Easter also brings with it a victim in a way, this celebration every year. One who, as this weekend scripture says, is the one who lays down his life. And so I think tying those things together is unique for this hymn. The original chant does it as well. But you can see that. So it's almost this twofold nature of this continual Easter celebration, what it means to have a good shepherd, the one who lays down his life and takes it up again.
Yeah, is that, that ties the gospel reading fairly strongly mm-hmm. here, right? With the idea that Jesus isn't, as the good shepherd, is laying down his life for his sheep,
yeah.
right? Is there any other way that the gospel relates to this?
Sure.
Hymn?
Yeah, I think so. There's an interesting little play on words in the second stanza too. Well, it's not even just a play on words; it is what it says. But I think it's a helpful way to hear about the Good Shepherd, because not all that often are Sundays in the church year in the middle of a long season labeled with sort of everyday language. But the fourth Sunday of Easter every year includes some language around John 10 and Christ as Good Shepherd or something like this. And so many people will say it's Good Shepherd Sunday. Well, that's not a real thing. It just happens to come up every year in the lectionary. What's wonderful about this is it sort of strips away that image briefly. It tells us not only that Christ is the Good Shepherd, but it begins and says, Christ is also the Lamb who bleeds for the sheep, which I think is wonderful, because we'll talk about them later. Many people will sing paraphrases of Psalm 23 this weekend, and rightfully so. It's the psalm appointed for the day. You can get away with that, and it's all very nice and sort of picturesque. This is a picture we would maybe rather avoid, but it forces us to sing it. So the one who bleeds, of course, is sinless in the sinner's stead. Mm-hmm. I think the gospel is really quite clear in the second stanza.
Yeah, I mean, for the sheep, the lamb has bled. Mm-hmm. The lamb is capitalized. I mean,
yep.
There you go.
Yep. So it recasts Christ not only as a shepherd, but something else, maybe a little less picturesque.
Yeah, there's so many images, and sometimes they get twisted and morphed, right? Like, you know, like the sheep is the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Well, in John 10, he's saying, I'm the shepherd who protects you, who cares for you and lays down my life so that I can pick it up again.
Mm-hmm.
In other places, you'll find, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
sure.
right? Or in Revelation, the Lamb who has been slaughtered but yet is alive. And so, yes, this hymn is picking up a number of those different kinds of images.
Well, and just like Jesus Christ is risen today, it's interrupted constantly by alleluias. So it tells you this is also good news. Somebody bleeding for sheep, right? This is why we praise the Lord. He's sinless in our place. Praise the Lord. All of these sorts of things go together.
Well, if you look at the end of the second stanza and the last stanza, they repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something to notice?
I think so, particularly on this weekend. I suppose you can say, well, it's coincidence, right? Christ the Lord is risen on high. Now he lives no more to die. This might expand the imagery a little bit of or the meaning of what Christ says in this weekend's text, where he says, I lay down my life and I take it up again, that the one we've gathered to worship and give praise on Easter, the one who's risen, lives not only that he will no longer die, but that we can say the same thing for ourselves, or he can say the same thing about us. I think it frames that in the way a good sermon might, rather than just saying this is Christ who came to lay down his life and he was risen and we'll do this for 50 days, come back next year, we'll do it again. It begins to deliver that good news to people right now.
Might also be a way to do what you were saying at the beginning and split the hymn to half before the sermon and half after,
yeah.
where mm-hmm. That becomes the phrasing that's yep. there.
Yeah. Or around the gospel reading, frankly.
Around
yeah,
the gospel.
You could do, it, you could do that also. Reading, yeah. Right. I mean, certainly you could do around the sermon. But it almost does that. In fact, now you have my brain going in a direction I didn't think. But you could do a couple stanzas around the gospel and sing a couple after the sermon and make a whole day of the hymn.
let the hymn preach for you
that's
for the
right.
day.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, you can preach in the middle too, but it would be a nice companion, I think.
Well, are there any other hymns that we could choose for this week that
sure.
would fit nicely?
Yes. Many. We'll list many of these. I'll give you a few of them in ELW specifically that are paraphrases of Psalm 23, many of which people will know. The first is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Set to a lovely tune. Most of these are lovely, gentle tunes. None of them in a minor key. That's Easter after all. And we're talking about the Good Shepherd, and it's Psalm 23. "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Shepherd me, O God," is a contemporary paraphrase by Marty Haugen. "My shepherd, you supply my need," is yet another. If you wanted something off the well-worn path for this, maybe ELW 385, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing," which is really even more generic than this one in terms of Easter. But it does have a small line in the middle, which says, "The life laid down, the life restored," which would be a nice way of, if you're searching for a hymn that everybody knows that you could sing at the beginning or conclusion of worship, and you'd like it to relate to John 10, go for that one.
Thanks for joining us this week on Sing to the Lord. Check the show notes for Zachary's stanza-by-stanza commentary, as well as a list of other hymns we recommend. See you next week.